Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Sula by Toni Morrison. Okay, so the third passage from Sula is very short, but I thought it was really good. She went to bed with men as frequently as she could. It was the only place where she could find what she was looking for, misery and the ability to feel deep sorrow.
That's a good quote.
Wow.
Too.
I mean... Mm-hmm. I know this was published in 1973. I know it's written about a much earlier time period. It takes place, you know, in a different time period earlier than that. But, you know, I think women of a certain age at least, and possibly men, but absolutely relate to this kind of inside out expression of why people sleep around. I don't know. To say it, you know, there's something in this that's just like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a very powerful quote, and I think that for me, this quote is one that I would highlight more in a podcast about those sexual politics.
Yeah,
I don't find as much richness as the other passages mm-hmm. in inspiring me to create art.
Right, but one thing it does. You know, it was the only place where she could find what she was looking for. And, you know, misery and the ability to feel deep sorrow. Up until you get to misery, it's like it was the only place where she could find what she was looking for. And if you haven't read this, you're going to think what's next is love, attention, feeling mm-hmm. good about, you know, something good. But after the, oh my gosh, what is that grammatical symbol? I can't even think of the word for that. The two dots.
Colon?
Yeah, the colon. After the colon, misery and the ability to feel deep sorrow is an unexpected goal to be looking for, to find, right?
True.
In this connection, physical connection with people that she's, you know, routinely, frequently as she could experiencing. It's like, wow, I want to read more. What's going on with this person? What's, you know, why is her goal misery and the ability to feel deep sorrow? What's going on mm-hmm. with this? You know, I mean, it's an intriguing standalone passage that might encourage people to want to read the rest of the book. Is my long-winded way of saying that. Yeah.
It is a good hook.
It is. It's a good hook. There. See, you're really good at saying things in very few short words. All right.
Would you rank this one as, do you like it as much as the two before? Is it higher? Is it lower?
That's so hard for me to say because I feel like, this one is a more, this, I don't know how to say this. It's like a more, it's a very short quote, two lines. Mm-hmm. Very in the now, it mm-hmm. almost sounds like it could be written today. You know, it's a more modern feeling to it. It's the other two quotes we talked about already kind of had a little more depth to them in terms of time periods. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if mm-hmm. I'm saying what I mean exactly, but I don't think it's more than the other two. I think the other two are a little more full, but there's something about this one that is so odd with that after the colon, you get that goal of being such a kind of what we would normally think is, you know, looking for misery and the ability to feel deep sorrow. Who wants that? You know, it, mm-hmm. there's something about it that sticks out to me. I don't know if I could say yet if it's ranked in any particular way.
I'm going to highlight it a different color because for me, I would put it below the other two.
Okay, that's fine.
For you, it sounds like you're still debating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
All right. What about the next one?
Okay. The next one. Oh boy. This is a rather long quote. So bear with me if I trip over my tongue. During lovemaking, she found and needed to find the cutting edge. When she left off cooperating with her body and began to assert herself in the act, particles of strength gathered in her like steel shavings drawn to a spacious magnetic center, forming a tight cluster that nothing, it seemed, could break. And there was utmost irony and outrage in lying under someone in a position of surrender, feeling her own abiding strength and limitless power. But the cluster did break, fall apart, and in her panic to hold it together, she leaped from the edge into soundlessness and went down howling in a stinging awareness of the ending of things, an eye of sorrow in the midst of all that hurricane rage of joy. There, in the center of that silence, was not eternity, but the death of time and a loneliness so profound the word itself had no meaning. For loneliness assumed the absence of other people, and the solitude she found in that desperate terrain had never admitted the possibility of other people. She wept then, tears for the deaths of the littlest things, the castaway shoes of children, broken stems of marsh grass battered and drowned by the sea, prom photographs of dead women she never knew, wedding rings in pawn shop windows, the tiny bodies of Cornish hens in a nest of rice. Oh my God.
That's beautiful.
I mean, and the reason, I mean, in that passage are probably three sections that could stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
But the power of that entire passage, I could not chop it up. I was just like, mm-hmm. It goes from one place to another in such a connected and rich and soulful way. I don't know. I just felt like there was so much in there that we would have so much to talk about on so many different levels. I just love it. This is probably my favorite passage in the book. That doesn't mean it's the most appropriate for our project, but I feel like this is one of my tip top number one passages of all time. I just think it's amazing. So what do you think? I know it's long. It's a little bit longer, but we have in the past had long ones. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we had like entire with the fairy tale year, we had entire fairy tales.
Yeah. Almost. And this one flows and is so beautifully written. It doesn't feel as long as it is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. I love the specificity at the end, mm-hmm. you know, naming, you know, the shoes mm-hmm. and the tiny bodies of Cornish hen in a nest of rice.
Who would have thought of that? Only Toni Morrison. You know, I mean, yeah. Right. I mean, it's just crazy. It's so good. It's so good.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And, yeah.
And I was going to say the description of loneliness, you know, for loneliness mm-hmm. assumed the absence of other people and the solitude she found in that mm-hmm. desperate terrain had never admitted the possibility of other people. I know she's talking about, you know, physical relations with men and all that stuff, but there's something about that, you know, definition of loneliness that she has and that hurricane rage of joy, you know, the eye of sorrow in the midst of all that hurricane rage of joy. There are phrases in here that just knock me out. And I love how it starts off talking about this this tight cluster made of like steel shavings and everything that nothing, it seemed, could break. And then, you know, a sentence later, but the cluster did break. And then describing that, how that brokenness feels. This is just an incredibly rich passage.
Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely. Rich. Yeah. I really am enamored of this passage. I still, for me personally, would put it a little bit under our first two, but
that's
I do
fine.
Really like this.
That's fine. And like I said, you know, just because we've learned this in the past, just because we love a certain passage doesn't mean it's the most appropriate for the project. And mm-hmm. we always have to be trying to think of it as our project, not our personal passion. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. hard enough when we're picking books, right? I mean, I was very passionate about a couple of our choices. So trying to depassionate is very difficult. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So excuse me. I'm going to mute myself so I can sniffle for a minute.
No problem. Yeah, it's always fun picking these and just thinking through the, you know, if I were a certain type of artist, what would I see in this? What would
inspire
me in this?
Right, right. If you were a metal sculpture, person. I mean, imagine what you could do with these ideas of metal and shavings and clusters and breaking apart. I mean, it would be amazing. So yeah, I love that. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Sula by Toni Morrison.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.